Blog Talk Radio.
To the Artist Roundtable. This is where you, the artists, the small business owners that serve the artists, fans of independent underground artists can call in and let's put it on the table and discuss some things. I've got a few things on my mind that I'd love to discuss, but we'll just kind of see where this day takes us. Let me start out by playing a few tracks by some independent artists. I do see the caller from the 253. If you just hang on with me for a minute and let me play a track or two, and then I will bring you into the call. So as you know how I do it here at News Radio, I only support underground independent artists, and that's who you will hear on any of my shows at any given time. So I'm going to play a piece by an artist out of Detroit, Michigan, and this is John D. Green Sr. with his piece, Lost in Darkness. Andy Green Sr. with, oh, sorry, I was talking in my phone. I got my mic going on, too. So let me mute this. I apologize.
All right. So that was John D. Green Sr. with Lost in Darkness. And again, here we support the underground independent artists from not only here in the Pacific Northwest where I am, but to across the globe. So let me bring in a caller and see what they have to say. Caller from the 253, you're on the air with Lady Flava.
What's happening? It's Q.
Hey, Q Dot. Thank you so much for calling in, my friend.
No problem. I've been meaning to call in forever and a day.
Yeah.
I'm glad
that you called in. You know, Mariko had pulled my coattail to something that you had posted on Facebook, and I think that it's a conversation that is definitely worth talking about, and it's something that I've been talking about, you know, on behind the scenes anyhow with some of the local people here in the Pacific Northwest. So for those of you that don't know, Q Dot is an artist out of the Pacific Northwest, an absolutely amazing hip-hop artist, but not only that. You know, he's a great musician. He is a producer. You know, he does so many things behind the scenes. He's got Juice Radio, another online radio show that supports the underground independent artists, you know, here. And, you know, he's doing some great things. So, correct me, Q Dot, if I'm wrong, you know, but what Mari had said was, you know, that you were kind of feeling that the community and the people up here are not showing the love and support to not only you, but to the music scene in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. It's weird for me because, you know, I'll check my stats on, like, you know, Reverb and Facebook and MySpace and Twitter and YouTube and my blog, and I get all these crazy views, you know what I mean? And, you know, it's like, well, obviously people are checking for me. Obviously people are looking at what I have, but you never feel it. So it's weird because up here, this is the only place in the country I've been where, you know, you're not, or I'm not at least, I can't say for anybody else, but I'm not seen where people are like, okay, I'm going to really reach out and show love to them. It's different when I went to Houston a few years ago. It was around the time when my video was on MTVU, and when I did the show in Houston, it was all love. You could see it. I mean, people knew. They ran up to me wanting to buy CDs, wanting to get autographs. They were excited to meet the guy that they had seen on TV.
Okay.
L.A., same difference. You know, and places where my song was on Music Choice a few months ago, and I got feedback direct on sites like Reverb Nation where other artists would hit me up like, yo, I heard you cut. But they're coming from, like, West Virginia and Miami. But up here, it's odd because I'll go to a show and people might run up to me like, hey, you Q Dot, right? I'm like, yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, I heard about you. And then they'll walk off. And that's really like the end of it.
Okay.
You know, so it's weird. And I know for others, it's probably something similar, you know, along the lines of, you know, where they're just not really getting too much support from the scene. As to where I've gotten, you know, I've been able to go do a bunch of shows and get interviewed and this, that, and the other. It's kind of like that I can't cross the finish line like I want to in this market.
Right.
You know. So, but yeah, it's definitely something that, you know, that is racking my brain, and I really want to, you know, figure out what does it take for an artist in this market to really make it, because I'm really literally asking people who've done it. I'm asking people who've come up in the scene when rock was big back in the early 90s, and how they kind of did it, and I'm getting all these different stories and different different feedback, and truthfully, it's kind of been the same story for everybody. At some point, they got to a point where they were just getting, you know, supported out of state, and even though they were well known here, it's like almost like the Northwest has this tendency to, and this is just from other stories I've heard, it's kind of like once you're quote unquote cool in their eyes, they don't need to support you anyway, so forget it. It's kind of like an anti-cool thing. Like, yeah, we know who you are, but, you know, we're on to the next thing.
Now, Q, do you think that this is just the Pacific Northwest, or do you think that this is happening for artists in their hometown, no matter where they are?
I think it's happening in a lot of hometowns. I remember reading an article with Slum Village a few years ago when Slum Village was on top of the world, and Jay Dilla was already getting high regards as, you know, a respected producer. And, you know, they would do tours and come back home and feel like nobody knew them. So, I mean, that, you know, Slum Village was, you know, arguably one of the biggest underground hip-hop groups ever to do it up to this point. So I think it's happening around the country. But also I've seen the flip side in cities like Houston, in cities like L.A., and Vegas for that matter, where they come out and show support for the for the local acts. And, you know, I think this is just a theory of mine as to why that is, is that especially in cities like Houston, at that time, Houston was really on the come up, 06, 07, 08. Houston was kind of in the spotlight. So when I did the Summer Jam, it was actually my brother and I, we went down there and did the Summer Jam. And it was one of those situations where if you went out to the crowd and you heard conversations, you know, this is something I wasn't expecting, but these were all people who knew these guys and grew up with Mike Jones and Lil Flip and Slim Thug and Paul Wall, all these guys who performed. There was all the big Houston acts. There wasn't one that wasn't the well, there was. UGK didn't perform. But everybody else who was hot from Houston at that time performed at that Summer Jam. And it was like them just going to see their friends do a show. So it wasn't like they were seeing superstars to them. They were seeing the guys that they used to play intramural basketball with and go smoke weed with or whatever the case was, and they're in middle school. But nonetheless, they still went out and supported. So the way the show was set up was interesting because the people who put it on, they had the big Houston acts that were national. They also had the independent or the newer Houston acts or Dallas acts who were getting big at the time, but they were still very much local or regional. And then there was a few out-of-towners. But the Houston fan base showed just as much love to the new guys as they did Lil Flip and Mike Jones, the guys everybody knows. And I think the reason why is because they're used to seeing that path of success repeated. So it's easier for them to want to get behind somebody who's a little unknown because they saw their friends go down the same path and they made it. As it were, up here, that hasn't happened yet on a national mainstream scale.
Right.
Where you see four or five guys at the same time come up and you got the newer guys and the younger fans saying, okay, well, you know, they're playing the same shows that this guy played, so he must be on the right path. I can support him.
Right.
Because I think to a degree it's like brand trust. It's brand loyalty, you know, that people want to get behind. Once your name is such where people, you know that you're doing big things and they know that they can get behind you and support you because you're progressing, then that's what they want to see.
Right, but I think that, you know, in my opinion, Q, and if you, you know, if you were to go back and listen to the archives of my shows, I always talk about the fact, like, you know, this is a time when you say that you believe and you dig what somebody's doing as an artist, this is the time to get behind them because the people, the fans, and you know, those that are loyal to that artist, they're the ones that can help push them out there. you know, when
right.
you start paying attention, you know, to somebody, then, and more people start paying attention, then more people start paying attention. That's how you build that recognition
mm-hmm.
and respect in the community, you know. And it's like, okay, why is it that when somebody all of a sudden is out there and starting to do something, you know, you want to get recognized? And I'll be honest with you, Q. I've had a rough morning already. It started at 7 o'clock this morning with a challenging conversation around hip hop from somebody out of California. You know, talking about
wow.
the fact that we're not doing it up here in the Pacific Northwest. We don't have the talent. We don't have the numbers that are being hit. And I'm like, oh my goodness. If, you know, first of all, you've never been here.
Right.
You've never experienced the Pacific Northwest talent in person. So don't come
right.
at me. Just because you Googled something, you went to YouTube, you listened, you saw how many hits somebody got to their YouTube or to their Reverb Nation, that doesn't mean that there aren't talents up here that are not deserving, you know, of
yeah.
being recognized. Then it went into, you know, Lady Flavor, you need to educate yourself around black music. That was another conversation, you know. But it
oh,
was
wow.
just like... You know, it just, you know, it's interesting to me, you know, the challenges of, you know, what you guys face, you know, because, Q, you know, from the first time I heard you, I know I tease you about your, you know, your frog legs, your fries, whatever.
Right.
I'm sitting here can't even say the name of the song, you know. But you know what? That song will stick out in my mind when I'm 90 years old. Trust me.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But you know, I think that you know, I don't know what it is to take you know, for people in your own hometown, let alone just people to just really step up and show that support, you know, because it does. It takes word of mouth. It takes, you know, being consistent. It takes money, you know. If QDOT has a CD out, QDOT needs you to purchase that CD, because if you're digging what he's doing, you know, his equipment that he uses to create this music that you're digging, that all takes money to have, to run the electricity, to even, you know, hook up
right.
the equipment. I mean, it all takes money, right? So for us to
right.
progress going further, we need your support in many ways, word of mouth and finances. It's just
right.
like when I started doing, you know, the radio show, okay, it was free back then. Now Blog
mm-hmm.
Talk Radio is charging. So then I said, you know, should I absorb those expenses, or should the artists that I support help absorb those expenses? And I asked that everybody that I support give $1 per month, right? I got
mm-hmm.
over 500 tracks uploaded to my show, right?
Woo! That's
so
big.
If everybody gave $1 of each track that I play to theirs, that could cover, you know, the expenses of the show for, you know, 2 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's like, do you know that the artists right here in the Pacific Northwest, I just got a donation last week and this week from two, you know, of course, my core people, Black Stacks, you know, Mike Mack and Harlem and Delton
right.
Sun, you know, they immediately, you know, gave a donation.
Right.
But when it came to the other people, it was like, wow. But there's this website called All Media Artists website that, you know, those particular artists are artists that have work towards taking it to the next level and are really putting out quality work, a very professional look. You know, there's somebody that you can easily, you know, help promote and put out there. They're the ones that jumped on at Q. You know, so even like my daddy was saying, well, Susan, you know, maybe it's kind of like that thing that the artists are dealing with, you know, that they can't get the love and respect from their own hometown, you know, but they can get it, you know, from others. You know, so it's just really kind of interesting, you know, in this whole thing. And I was so glad that, you know, Mari pulled my coattail, that you had, you know, had commented on that, because I hate to see you walk away from what you do, because you do it well. You know, it's not only that you create a great, respectable hype about you. I don't think that all hype is good hype, right? But for
right.
you, you know, you create a very respectable, fun hype around you. And so, I think that it definitely, you know, is deserving, you know, to be, you know, appreciated. And the thing that I tell to the fans, okay, once you say that you're digging what somebody's doing, I almost feel like once that comes out your mouth, you take on a whole new responsibility, because then it's your responsibility to tell the next person.
Right.
To tell everybody in your network, you need to go check out QDOT.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You really need to hear us. You need to go to his radio show. You need to see who he's playing, not only himself, but the other artists that he's playing. You know,
right.
You need to go check out, you know, Super Fresh or, you know, whatever. You need to check out what QDOT's doing. You know, he's not only an artist, he's an entrepreneur. You know, he's a producer. He can help you in other ways, but he deserves to be paid for those services too. You know, so, yeah, okay, I was on my rant, wasn't I, Q?
You're good.
Huh?
You're good. I'm listening. Because that's exactly how I feel. You know, it's funny because when I was in church yesterday, we had a guest pastor come in and speak, and not to make any comparison to church or anything, but it was kind of a similar message. He was saying how sometimes we'll go to church, or sometimes we'll be in church and we'll expect the church to have this and expect the church to have this service and give this and give that, but then you're not putting anything towards it. You're not donating any time. You're not tithing. You're not doing, but you expect all of this stuff to just come.
Mm-hmm.
And it can't work that way. That's not the way anything really works. And it's kind of the same premise I feel in music is, okay, I don't make music expecting people to everybody just jump up and buy it or jump up and support it. I try to give as many reasons as I can why you should. And then if you do, great. If not, then maybe I'm just not your cup of tea, but that's fine too. But even then, it's kind of like I get asked a lot, you know, when's the new CD coming out? When's the new video coming out? When you get some new money, maybe.
So let me say this. So there's a group, and somebody said to this group, well, man, you should have blown up by now. You know,
right.
And I told that artist, you know, they should have turned around to that person and said, okay, what did you do to help me?
Exactly.
How many people, you say that you like what I'm doing, how many people did you, you know, tell about, you know, our music? You know, how many people did you get to come to our showcases? Did you pay to get into our showcase, or were you one of those people that got in free? You know, so it's like, oh, you know. It's like, you know, I mean, the fans play a big role in the success of what you guys do. You know, and I think that they really, really need to understand that. They really need to understand that. But, Q, let me bring in a couple other callers. We've got two more callers that want to join in on the conversation.
Cool.
All right, caller from the 913, I believe, is Stephen Ferguson.
How you doing, Lady Flavor, Q? What's
up? Very good.
What's happening?
So Stephen is a jazz artist out of Kansas, QDOT.
Okay, nice.
So let me bring in two more callers, or at least one more caller. Caller from the 813 area code. You are on the Artist Roundtable with Stephen Ferguson and QDOT.
Hey, lady, it's Lily LaRue.
How are you, Lily?
I'm good, honey. How are you?
I am very good. So Lily LaRue is a entertainment management team coming to us out of Tampa, Florida.
Okay.
Hi, Lily.
Hi.
So what do you think of the conversation so far, Stephen, and what you've heard?
Well, the thing about the hometown deal, you know, I find the same problems. I don't know what it is, but sometimes it's hard to get the recognition in your own hometown. And it's not for musicians and artists and everything. Also, it's I mean, you find people that try to open up businesses in their own hometown and find it hard to do.
Right.
You know, maybe it's just a I don't know, maybe it's just a psychological thing. I don't know. Because I've talked to a lot of people that knew me since I was a little bitty little boy. And the first thing comes out their mouth is like, oh, yeah, I remember when you used to run around and throw rocks and all this kind of stuff like that. And, oh, look at you now. You're trying to be a big musician and all that kind of stuff. And, mm-hmm. and it's like they almost don't take you seriously,
mm-hmm.
you know, because of that. And, you know, you get all, I know I'm speaking just for myself, but the majority of my support comes from people outside of where I say I'm from.
Okay.
And I can't, but I don't know.
It is, I mean, and for me, too, going along with that is, you know, it's hard for me to get support within the family. Like, I get the same thing. Like
mm-hmm.
oh, yeah,
yeah,
I remember you. You used to do this and that, and look at you trying to do music. I'm like, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I used to change your diapers.
Okay,
that was nice. I really appreciate that. But what about paying, like, $12.99 for the CD, maybe? You know,
well,
and isn't that interesting, you guys, how you know, a mainstream artist can come and throw a showcase for $75 and people are jumping up, you know, to go pay that $75 to go get their ticket to it. On top of it, for the women, they're going to go out and get the nails done and a new outfit and get their hair done.
Oh, of course.
You know, and Maxwell's never going to even see them, you know, so it's just kind of interesting how people will jump up there to, you know, support a mainstream artist who doesn't even know they exist to, you know, to then, you know, then to, you know, support somebody who is an amazing talent in their own hometown or somebody they've come across on the internet, and all they're mm-hmm. asking is for $10, $15 for you to purchase a CD.
Right. Well, you know, and I think, too, that I think the psychology of a fan is very much, I have a guy I used to work with many, for about 8 years. He used to be an old hustler in Detroit. And he said that he used to run into the same thing that I face in music, selling drugs. Weird, right? He used to say that if he walked down the street, just a normal guy, and he sold his drugs for cheaper,
he wasn't selling as much. But if he looked as though he had the money, and he looked as though, and he presented himself as though he was the big guy, and he sold his drugs for more, he would sell more.
It's almost like a junkie mentality. I think that fans want to follow what they think or what is perceived to be bigger and perceived to be better. Not so much that it is, but it's just the perception behind it. It's like if a dope man can't get off, she's dope. You know, how does a musician, you know, sell out a show for $5-$10?
Right.
But then, somebody mainstream come to town.
Right. Then they all own it. You know, they're taking their rent money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to support,
exactly.
putting more money into the pockets of somebody who's already made it
mm-hmm.
when there's an amazing artist that's performing, you know, weekly at a local pub or even a coffee shop or whatever, you know,
right.
or, you know, a smaller venue or a showcase that, you know, in some ways may be even just as good or even better. But let me bring in two more callers.
Okay.
That want to join the conversation. Okay, good. All right, DeLon from Houston, your line is open. Let me click on another one, though.
Hello.
All right.
Yo.
Hey, what's happening with everybody?
All right, John D.
Green,
I know that you took your hand down, but I'm opening up your line, too, because I miss you. But so now we've got on the line Q-Dot from right here in the Pacific Northwest, Stephen from Kansas, DeLon from Houston, Texas, John D. Green Sr. from Detroit, Michigan, Lily LaRue from Tampa, Florida. So what a wonderful representation of the music industry.
All over the world today.
I guess we got a lot to get off our chest.
Right, right, right.
So,
let me jump in and ask.
So, Lily, what do you think about the conversation that's been taking place?
I think pretty much everybody's on point with how they, you know, their opinions and how they're feeling about the industry, you know, on the indie side of it, and you know, having some kind of feeling some type of way about, you know, people kicking out all these dollars for the mainstream artists. You know, I can appreciate that because I had that similar experience just 2 weeks ago, you know, at my show. And I had everybody fly in from all over the country, my whole camp, you know. I had LaRue fly in from Seattle. I had Fat Man Detroit's Finest fly in from Vegas. And these cats, you know, they love me so much that they flew in on their own dime.
Right.
So we did this show, and unbeknownst to me, not even 30 yards from my club, Plies was performing that night, and it was pretty much a last-minute thing, you know, that he went into Club LAX, and they literally shut the streets down, which blocked off my venue, so it was a one-way street.
Wow.
So
the
parking garage is directly across, you know, because the venue was right there. You had your parking, you know, all you had to do was walk across the street. It was a perfect setup. But because, you know, Orlando literally has shut down two blocks and access to that street, and it's only a one way to get in, it was like, you know, pretty much I would say about a good 50% of my business and the people that was supposed to show turned around and went around that corner. But why? Because Plaza selling tickets at $10 a head, the same tickets that I was selling for my artist to perform.
Storm right there.
You know, so yeah, I did feel some type of way about that. And I'm like, you know, a lot of people don't even like Plies. You know, why? But just because he's a, you know, he's a mainstream artist in the hip-hop world, okay, let's go see that. And they packed 3,000 people into that club.
Wow.
You know, so, I do feel some type of way that, you know, okay, y'all really went to go see this cat, and half of y'all don't even like him, number one. Number two, you probably pirated half of his, you know, his music.
Right.
So you didn't even pay for that, but you paid to get in, and this man don't even know y'all. He ain't even going to give y'all a thank you or nothing.
Exactly.
Right.
You put more money into his pocket, and he's living large. And a lot of the people that, you know,
niggas, I promise you, out of that $30,000 that they got at that club that night, I know he walked away with a good 25.
Yeah,
easy.
You know,
well, you know.
I was feeling some type of way about that, but I'm over it. You know, trust and believe it will never happen again because I would check the schedule. All the way down to the last 48 hours.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely hard when you got, you know, you're in a major city to constantly keep up, you know, when you got Lady Gaga coming through, you got T.I. coming through, you know, you constantly have to check that venue up to 72 hours, and then by that time it's already too late to pull a venue, you know, because of the money that's invested.
Right. Wow,
you know, so you
so
pretty much got
to
eat.
That, Lily.
Yeah, managers eat that cost. I mean, we had a really good turnout. You know, even though we were dealing with the fact that this cat was right around, literally right around the corner.
Right.
You know, but it could have been so much better.
Right.
And,
sure.
And I was just like, you know. I mean, we PR'd this thing like crazy. We
PR'd this thing like crazy, you
know, not just on Facebook, but we took out radio ads.
All the way over there in the UK and everything, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so it was a hard hit, and I was like, you know what, this is what I'm talking about. This is the mess that I'm talking about. I'm like, because he doesn't even have, he doesn't even have really a huge following like that.
Right.
But because he's out here in the mainstream, everybody thinks that they got to be a part of it. I'm like, you know, where's your brain cells at?
Right. Those are the people that they marketed to. Is the people who don't really have too much sense to know the difference between that, you know?
They really don't think. If they're not into music like, you know, the indie artists are, and the people inside the music industry, the average consumer does not think about that. All they know is what they hear out here on the major radio stations.
Exactly.
You know,
right there. The
not even on the internet, because most of them don't even go to internet unless they are really into music. So
Right. Whatever's
popping out here at the time, that's what they're going to go for.
The key is the major radio stations. The major radio stations.
And that's what we are trying to do.
They will tell us what we should listen to. And
exactly.
Because if you listen to the average radio station every day, you hear the same things over
the same thing.
And over
you can clock it
over.
Almost 15 minutes apart.
It's literally programmed that way.
Yeah, I could tell if I'm late for work by just what song is on the radio at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ridiculous. But,
right.
And that's where the change probably needs to be made. And that in the music business is the hardest nut to crack, is getting airtime on a major radio station. You might as well try to dry shave a gorilla than to try to get your song played on a major radio
station. I vouch for that because I've had videos on MTV. I've been on Music Choice, DirecTV's little version of Music Choice, and
mm-hmm.
I've seen some traction, but it doesn't get the immediate impact in sales or recognition like regular radio does.
Exactly.
You know, and I have a radio station too, and we get about 10,000-15,000 listeners a month, and I've gotten some sales off of that. I can tell because it'll be someone from, like, Norway, and I'll check my listeners, and I'll have listeners in Norway for whatever dumb reason. But whenever I've had stuff on, like, Cube 93, which is our, you know, big top 40/hip-hop station out here, that's when it happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's when all of a sudden you start seeing a little spike locally in what you're doing. You know, I can go and check my sales, and it's like, wow, okay, cool. You know, this week.
But take this, and I agree with everything that I'm hearing, but it really comes down to money and the companies. And I'll give you an example. I was watching this program called Beef on HBO, where they talk, not HBO, it's one of the other channels, where they talk about beef between hip-hop artists and all this other stuff. And just to show you the power of money and record companies, I guess KRS had a problem with Nelly. Those two were going back and forth. But what happened is KRS went to another point where he was like, he wanted to have people protest against Nelly and not buy his album. But guess what? Mm-hmm. The record company, you know, Universal, which is behind Nelly and much bigger, they got behind, they started, you know, really promoting them hard and all this other stuff, and Nelly ended up selling like 4 million albums while KRS barely broke, you know, a few hundred thousand. You know, it just,
mm-hmm.
it didn't even matter about who, quote-unquote, won the battle. It was over, you know, when you
mm-hmm.
have that kind of money behind you. So that's where it really comes in, you know what I mean?
That and, you know, probably KRS's whole push about, you know, Nelly probably just adds fuel to the fire. That's why they say, like, in political ads to never mention your opponent. Say
right.
the other person, because you're really
right.
just giving them free press.
Right. Exactly.
So now DeLon was from Houston, was the one that was just talking, and we were having this conversation yesterday on Flavor Coffee House show about, you know, he is more of a R&B soul singer, And, you know, he's an older artist, you know, in his early 40s. And, you know, he's feeling like, you know, somebody like him, even though he has this absolutely amazing voice, is not getting, you know, the time and attention because of what, you know, the media is saying is what's popular right now. And,
right.
You know, and I was trying to tell DeLon, you know, my goodness, you've got this voice that, you know, definitely, if nothing else, reaches an older, mature audience, you know, and it's like there should be music that is created that, you know, somebody in my age bracket, you know, can appreciate, and it should be able to, you know, be sold. But, you know, I sensed, you know, even though DeLon's got some great things going, and he's got a really amazing video out right now with a hip hop artist down there in Houston. But, you know, I sensed, you know, a bit of, you know, discouragement in, you know, the conversation I had with DeLon yesterday. So, and before we go any further, John D. Green, thank you so much for calling into the show from Detroit.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm enjoying the conversation. What's up, D? Hey, D, you know what, man?
Yes.
With that voice like yours, I was waiting for you halfway through the video to snatch off your clothes and throw the word booty in there a couple times, man. Because, hey, they're not going to bend to our will, bro. So we're going to have to bend to their will. You know, I just decided, man, I've had about 500 emails asking me about this clothes shoot for this movie. Now, you know they can't be there, but people have already figured out where it's going to be and can they be there. So I'm thinking, maybe I'm going to jump up on top of the tour bus and just snatch my clothes off. Here you go. That's what you want. Will this make me famous? You know, because, I mean, what else can you do? For D, that's the plan. You take that smooth voice of yours and you work the word booty in there like 6 or 7 times. Long. Booty, booty, booty. And make it happen, man. No, I'm just kidding, man. But seriously, though, I did see the video. I watched it a couple of times, man. And I'm, brother, you're smooth. You're smooth. I do not understand it, D. I do not understand what's going on right now with the quality versus quantity, so to speak, as far as the music that we're being programmed to listen to, as opposed to what's good. But hey, you know what? It's just one of those things, I guess, man. We're just gonna have to push against the grain until something is, you know.
You know, it's gonna take a lot of hitting the weight room.
Yeah, it is.
Trust me, I'm not about to take my shirt off. I'm just not gonna do that.
You know, and I mean, you know, I've thought about that a million times too, man. But that's not what it's really about. You know, we're trying to keep true to something that's real. You know, and we're the last of the Mohicans, so to speak. We're trying to keep true to real music and real singing and that real sit down at the instrument and do your magic type. And I think them days are just about gone, man. I think we're the last hope for the true musicianship, so to speak, you know. And if we don't pull through, then, you know, it's going to be a technical age, you know, so we got to fight that good fight to the end, you know. Like I said, they break my fingers, I'll flip around and play with my tongue. I'm good. I'm going to make it happen. Hey, I'm dead serious, man. I'm going to make it happen. So, you know, this is it right here. This is the last push, you know.
So,
I got all these people with this music, but they asking me, can they come to a closed set for a movie? What the hell they got to do with anything,
right?
But hey, whatever. You know, whatever.
For those of you that don't know John D. Green's senior story, he is a singer, songwriter, musician, composer, and now he's an actor. And the actor thing just kind of, like, happened. It was just, you know, kind of on a whim. He was feeling frustrated in regards to, you know, being a musician and composer and all of that, you know, being a musical talent, and he was kind of like Q-Dot, like, okay, why aren't people paying attention? You know, what is it going to take for you know, me to get recognized, or, you know, the respect and acknowledgement, you know, and this and that, you know, to one day he walks in and he does, you know, what do you call it? The, you know, like
audition.
A casting call to audition. you know, for acting. And he actually got the role, you know, actually got two roles. And so right now he's working on a film and a sitcom. So, I mean, it was, but, you know, I know that he's not walking away from his passion as a musician and an artist, but it's kind of like, okay, what do you do? And it's, that's interesting, John, that you would say, you know, all these years that you've been in the music industry and you can't get the respect and all of a sudden people want to jump up
mm-hmm.
and pay attention mm-hmm. now that you're acting.
But that's just like Jamie Foxx. Jamie Foxx had no intention of being a comedian and actor first. He wanted to be a musician, singer first. That's what
right.
he really set out to do. And then, excuse me, the comedic side and the acting side is what got him in the door. Now he's able to cross back over into music. So a lot of people are like, oh, Jamie Foxx sings? But, yeah, that was his whole thing from the beginning was the
right.
music. Yeah, so and maybe that's
he's
what
pretty good, too, man.
Yeah,
he is pretty good. So I just want to say something to go back to Stephen for a minute because, you know, Stephen, as you've heard me talk on the All Media Artists shows, and, you know, the jazz stations are closing down. I don't know
yeah.
if you still have a jazz station out there in Kansas or not, but you know my mm-hmm. jazz station out here in the Pacific Northwest doesn't exist anymore. You know,
well,
so
I'm
so
going to tell you what's sad.
Still there?
In Kansas City, we have actually a jazz museum. Okay.
Okay.
And, I mean, you can go there. It's a pretty nice place. You can go there. You can listen to some of the old stuff and all that and go around and look at some of the exhibits. But, you know, all the jazz radio stations have closed, shut down.
So, I mean, what does a jazz musician, you know, even do? You know, I mean, when I had, like, Patrick Gandel on the show or whatever, you know, it was like, you know, he said that it's going to take the creativity of the, you know, online radio stations, you know, to then step up and represent and help, you know, the jazz artists yeah. to the independent artists, you know, get heard because, you know, when it comes to the mainstream, you know, stations as Q Dot's talking about here in our hometown of, you know, having the top 40 to the, you know, hip-hop scene being heard, you know, that's you know, we're limited, you know, even with that out here. And so when you're up against forces like that where jazz, you know, is like the origins of music in many ways and other music has, you know, been based off of the sound, you know, what do you even do with that?
Jazz, for some reason, and jazz musicians have, it's been kind of pigeonholed into a, say that maybe that 40 to 65 age group. You know, if someone says jazz, the first thing people think about is an older person sitting around in a club, you know, just sitting back, maybe listening to something. But the actual truth is that jazz is one of the most listened to genres of music out there.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people listen to jazz in their homes, on the way to work. I mean, I talk to people every day, and you know, you catch them coming to work and all that, and that, oh, yeah, man, I was just listening to Herbie Hancock and, you know, coming into work or something like that. They're still listening to it, but it's not marketable anymore for some reason.
No, that's a travesty. Yeah.
It is, and the music industry has targeted that 18 to 25 age group as
mm-hmm.
having the most disposable income for some reason. And
right.
that's not necessarily
yeah.
true. You know,
right.
And they target that group, but that group, I've been contacted by some really young guys, man, 18, 19, 20 years old, that's digging the sound I'm putting out. They listen to Mingus. They listen to Herbie Hancock. They listen to Al Jarreau. But are they going to the record stores and buying it?
Right.
You know, that's They're buying what they're told to buy by the radio stations again. Never go back to that again.
Yeah, that and the record and the major companies. The gatekeepers are the ones who are telling us what time it is. Because, I mean, like, Stefan, I'm not blowing smoke up your rear, man, but, I mean, you're extremely talented, man. And it's, you know, I mean, you should be definitely, you know, doing something, man, with it. I mean, you know, I know you're trying, but I'm saying this stuff really hurts me, to be honest. That
it does.
So many talented people that, you know, I've met through Late Flavor or Army Arts, whatever. Every last one of them talented, man. Like you know, or have something to offer to the game. And it's like, well, you know, like the sister was saying there with her story. You know, Plies comes along. You know, he's okay, whatever. But he shuts the city down because of who he is.
Yeah.
But you know, and that hurts my heart. I'm not gonna lie to you. And it happens day in and day out. And
well,
until,
I'm gonna tell you, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say until the powers that be really get enough knocks on their door and demand for it. There has to be that demand for it, because trust me, they will quit selling records tomorrow and sell tires if that's where the money is. It's about the money, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not about the art. It's about the money, where the money is. And until enough people are clamoring for it, you know, like I was telling Late Flavor yesterday, for instance, there's a lot of people, you know, especially older folks who may not be computer savvy, let's say, or have a computer, they're not going to go on iTunes and all that other stuff to buy records. To them, it's like, well, if you have a CD, you know, I'll go to the store and get that, you know, but I'm not putting my credit card on the online and all that other stuff.
Exactly.
So the gatekeepers are like, well, there's no sales there. So, you know, I've had so many people say to me, well, you know, you need to, well, D, you know, you need to make your style a little younger, or you need to look a little more like this or do a little more of that, you know, then you'll break through. But I'm sorry, I'm not doing that. I'm not compromising myself. I know.
No, can't do it. Ain't not going to happen. But you know what, D, I looked at, I was on Reverb Nation this morning to look at my chart position and my stats and everything, right? And I looked on the national chart that they have for jazz musicians. There are 8,768 jazz musicians on that chart.
Wow.
I'm number 206.
That's not bad at all.
You know, but yet and still, you know, okay, people are listening, people are looking. Okay, what are you waiting for? You know? Help brother out a little bit, you know?
Well, you know, Dylan, you know, I'm old and forgetful, so I want to say this is a conversation that you and I also had on the show yesterday, in the fact that a lot of people don't have the capability to purchase online.
That's true, they don't.
And, you know, they don't have the bank accounts, or they're not comfortable with doing the purchasing online, which I understand that too. You know, so then what do you do with that? How many people are really going to go to the bank and get a money order to mail it out, but then how many artists are actually pressing real hard copies of CDs now that we're into the digital download, you know, era? So I'm finding that, you know, being a challenge also, that not everybody has the capability, you know, to do the internet stuff and purchasing online, you know, to artists not actually pressing up hard copies.
Yeah, it's. Oh, no.
You know what, Lady? Can I interject here for a minute?
Yes.
Okay. I'm hearing what you're saying. Okay, and this is why I tell my artists, you can go in the front and the back door. You can even kick in the side door. It can work out for you, because we actually try to instill in them. Let's do the math here. Let's not try. You know what? We're not even thinking about the majors, because we are the major competition. Because if you look at the math, number one, that you're going to sell this CD for $10, $12, whatever it is, okay? The majors is going to keep a good 60 to 70% of that, because the cut is always going to be at 7:30, okay, on a 70-30 cut, okay?
Right.
You take up that same CD, press it up, Okay, do your little bit of packaging on it, which is going to cost you, what, a couple of cents per CD, all right, on a volume level. Sell that CD for $1. Take it out to your shows. Like I tell them, whatever you're doing, I don't care if it's at the park or at the car wash, wherever, if you out there just singing on the street corner, sell the CDs for $1. Who's going to pass that up? $1? Especially in your local, in your local city. But when you start doing shows, maybe like, they flew all the way out here? Well, they making major moves. They're going to buy that CD. Soon enough, as we found out in our family label, okay, even on the mixed CDs, we had over 80,000 hits on one mixtape. 80,000 downloads. That's just an array of, before we knew it, okay, in 2010, he was a self-made millionaire. And he put that philosophy to us, and it was like, you know what, that makes perfect sense. The majors aren't going to give you that $1.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Sell your volumes yourself, whether it be digital, on download, or you out here on selling it wherever you can at your shows or, at the functions, especially in major cities, It can work. There's so many ways. There's so many doors that are open to you. You just have to have, that mindset that you're going to go get it. It doesn't take the majors to do it for you. I could care less if, Wiz is out here selling 2, 3, 4 million of that black and yellow. I could care less as long as my artists are still going to get heard. They're still going to get paid because, like I tell them, it's not all about getting signed into the majors and hitting that radio station, because once they drop you, trust and believe, if you're not out with another hit record, you can forget about it. You're back to square one.
I do, and I do think that when it comes to being an artist, once you do sign with the majors, they own you, and they call the shots, and I've heard that story so many times that, it's, in a sense, you lose self or whatever, but at the same time, I'll speak up for Q-Dot, he's doing a lot out here in the Pacific Northwest, regularly to hosting his own weekend, festival, Grit City to, Juice Radio, and, just his own artistry and putting out quality, product. He's not only a hip-hop artist, he's a musician,
mm-hmm.
So he not only, he has the capability of creating the beats, but at the same time, he plays actual music, musical instruments. So, like with Q-Dot, it's like, okay, he's been out there hustling for years, so I totally understand, Q, why you're feeling discouraged.
Yeah, like I said early in the conversation is, what I try to do is, I really don't expect people to do much of anything when I put something out, but I try to give them every reason in the world too. So, if you're finding out about your new music on MTV, I'm going to put a video on MTV. If you listen to Music Choice, I'm going to Music Choice. If, whatever the case may be, So I do those types of things, and I think the only thing that I've really missed out of the equation is having like a real, real consistent publicist, because I think after doing some research, and there's studies out there that show that publicity in the digital age can be just as effective as radio has in the non-digital age.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's the piece of the pie that I've been missing. Maybe it's the piece of the pie that everybody's been missing. But people consume information, and maybe I'm not doing a lot to put information out there, but nonetheless, I've been working pretty hard to try to do the things that, may change the perception of somebody who's just, the guy down the block doing music to the guy who's on his way to really, really doing it. Don't get me wrong, I've made money off of music. It's like paying half my bills, so I'm not I'm not upset at it, but it's still discouraging when you feel like, okay, I haven't done all this. What do I need to do at this point? Like, what do y'all really, you know what I mean? Like, what else am I supposed to do?
Yeah, I feel you on that one. I really
do.
I feel you on that one. But see, you're at a certain level that most artists, like, when by the time that my artists get to me, okay, I feel like, you know, well, you're ready for management. And the video thing sounds good, okay, but they're probably not even there yet. You know what I'm saying? That takes money. They're not even there yet. It's an investment. And a lot of artists that come to me, you know, yeah, they're worth signing, but they have no money. And most management companies out here, trust and believe, they need to pay their bills. I thank God because, you know, I have other avenues and I have affiliates and I do a lot of things to sustain myself. So an artist can be down with me in my camp but not necessarily have to kick out that money because that has to go into reinvesting.
Right.
You see, it's not, most indie artists don't have, especially nowadays, you know what I mean, look at where we're in. Every market out here, including the industry, is fragile. Nobody has the money. I've seen major entertainment companies that, you know, I talk to, you know, the CEOs, and I'd be like, okay, you know what? How about we swap out cities? Bring your artists down here, down to the FL. Let me come up to New York, and we'll put it down like that. They don't have the money.
Yeah. Right.
And the key is to get your artists out there. They have to get out of their cities. That's why they get trapped. If they can't get out their cities and go cross country and swap out cities, you know, they get stuck. They literally get stuck. It's like a vortex. They get sucked in, and that's where they stay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what you're talking about, when you're talking about media, that's all good, but nobody nowadays has that kind of money. You know, and that's why I try to build that platform. Don't look up at the ceiling. It's okay to look up, and it's okay to dream. But reality is, we're right here. We're down here, you know, at the floor level. That's what we want to get to. So we got to take steps.
What is it that you look for in artists before you sign them to your management?
First and foremost, I look at their music and their attitude. I look at the music, and I have to look at the attitude. If they don't match up to what I feel that, you know, that I could take globally, I'm most likely going to, you know, be like, you're not ready for this right now, not for what I need to do with you. And what are your ultimate goals? I ask them first, what is your goal? What is your goal when you want to get signed to my entertainment company? If they say they want to be on a major record label, that's not, okay, that was the wrong answer. Right off the rip. That was the wrong answer because I'm not going that route.
Right.
Not when family label has, you know, I have a family label in California and I have a family label in Philadelphia. Both have, you know, major distribution, but being signed to the majors is just not my thing because mathematically it's not there. There's no longevity. And Lady Flavor knows I am down for the longevity in this business because my family's been in business for over 60 years. So my legacy, you know, my family legacy is everything to me. My reputation out here in the industry with the LaRue name on it is everything. First and foremost, I'm not going to put myself in a bad position with an artist, you know, for nobody. I'm not doing it.
Right.
There's another caller.
Plus, it's kind of hard.
Hold on a minute. Let me bring in this other caller. Q-Dot dropped off the line. I don't know if by chance this is him calling in from a different phone, but let me check. Call it from the 253. You're on the Artist Roundtable.
Yep, it's me. I'm back.
Okay.
I'm back.
All right.
I've been listening though.
All right. But go ahead, Delon.
Okay. No, I was being facetious. I was gonna say, yeah. Plus, it's kind of hard to negotiate 360 deals.
Exactly. Hello.
But Lily brought up a good point about goals. I've talked to a lot of other musicians, and you ask them that one certain question about what is it that you are actually doing this for? What do you want to do? Where do you want to be? And 80% of them will say, oh, I want to get signed with a major record label.
Uh-huh.
But what about that goal of I want to make this type of music, or I want to make people feel this certain way when they hear my music?
Right.
It,
exactly.
It's all about filling that wallet and that bank account by getting with that record label. And to be honest with you guys, and you guys can take this to the bank when I say it, Stephen Jerome Ferguson does not ever want to sign with a major record label. Okay? As far as I'm concerned, slavery days are over. Okay? I'm not going to be nobody's piece of meat or nobody's commodity. That ain't going to happen here. I'm not going to have anybody telling me that, okay, you need to put out a CD right now. You need to come up with a new song right now. No, I do that when I want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the only way it's going to come out right, is when I want to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that ain't happening. So, you know, if you get your goals straight, if I know exactly what you want to do, and once you get that straight, then you can start putting things in place to reach that goal.
Right.
And
you can always tell a seasoned artist from somebody that has got talent but just entered the game.
Oh,
because
yeah.
An artist that's been out here for years grinding on his own, you know, after years of hitting the stage, after being, you know, out here in the streets pushing their music, have learned that indie labels are the way to go. And, you know, and they'll tell you, you know, I'm not trying to get signed to, you know, this label or that label, you know, whatever, you know, it is that makes them put out the music that they do. Like my artists, you know, I got a group that's in their 40s, you know, but when I wanted to take them on tour to London, I was told basically that they would not work. Even though the music talent was there and you know, their face is not plastered on, you know, on the CD because of them being interracial. They were literally turned down because of the color of their skin.
Interesting.
And not the, yeah, and it wasn't about the talent.
Wow.
You know, because they weren't going to sell the tickets. So they were literally turned down, which, well, you know, I was really disgusted by them because then it became a money thing.
Mm.
It didn't become about the music. And these artists out here, you know, they always want to think, and oh, my God, lady, I don't even know if I told you the story that I had a interesting thing happen. I had an artist come to me. I mean, he was fabulous, absolutely fabulous. Had a golden voice. The music was right. The production was right. Everything was right on time. But when I got him on the phone and I said, okay, I want you to tell me why you want to be signed to my label. Why do you want to be signed to this management company? He said, because I know you can get me to the majors. I said, excuse me? He said, I want to be signed to a major record label. I said, well, then somebody must have told you wrong about what I do, because that's not what it's about. Your longevity in this business. And I literally had to turn down the talent because the attitude was so just, you know, that's what it's about. That I'm going to get my money. And I'm like, you know what, you were doomed to fail already if it's just about the money and not about the music.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree.
Well, I do agree with what Stephen said. I think that first that you need to know why you're getting into this industry, what it is that you want to gain out of it. If it's about creating a quality product and, you know, music, and hopefully being able to gain some
notoriety and fan base if it is, you know, about signing with a major record label. I mean, then you need to do your research and, you know, and put yourself out there. I agree with, you know, Lily when it comes to attitude. Attitude is everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I'm reading this book right now by Keith Harrell, who is somebody I grew up with here in Seattle playing basketball at Garfield High School, and he wrote this book, and it's called, you know, Attitude is Everything, and man, it can either make you or break you, you know.
Literally.
And so I'll tell you a conversation that I had this morning. I don't know if I would want to work with this particular person because it was just like, man, you know, came out, you know, talking out the side of his neck at me, you know, so, it, you know.
Yeah, I'm mad at him for that.
I'm like, you are really not coming at me that way. And,
mm-hmm.
and now you want me to listen to an artist? Like, come on now. Let's keep it real. I don't care how talented somebody is. If you come at me wrong, you will not get the time of day out of me.
Right.
You know, so, you know, I appreciate everything that all of you are sharing. I think it's just really real. I wish that somehow we could come together on these artist roundtables and, you know, figure out what the resolve is, you know, for all
right.
of you guys, you know, to be able to, you know, get recognized and to, you know, get the respect and appreciation that you're due, because all of you in who you are as artists or in this industry, you know, deserve that. You know, but before I go any further, I think I'm going to play play a couple of y'all's tracks so that you can kind of get a taste of each other's flavors. And this is going to be Q-Dot with his piece, Super Fresh.
So outrageous, still independent, yeah, I'm so courageous. In the Northwest, where I'm so outrageous. Cool as the Rat Pack, rap Sammy Davis. City two shoes, that's good behavior. Keep strapped like a Velcro fanny pack, just for the haters. League so major, freaks wanna creep, so they leave naughty flicks from their MySpace pages. Did a lot of things they said couldn't be done, being from where I'm from. Yeah, the sun don't come, but it rains, so rain or shine. My rain don't shine, let it rain. Like Sean Kemp, man, it'll bomb him. Nah, I don't smoke pimp. Dead t-shirt on my frame, hanging just like a portrait. I am lame, homie, that's some horse. See what I'm saying? I ain't playing, homie. Do what you will, you ain't cooler than this. Matter of fact, ain't too many who can do it like this. Can't too many do it truer than this. I'm just doing my fear. Do what you will, you ain't cooler than this. Matter of fact, can't too many who can do it like this. Can't too many do it truer than this. I'm just doing my shit. Kinda like peroxide. Chicks in the yard wanna see how I ride. Still in the cut like Neosporin. Chicks trip when they see what it is I'm sporting. Look here, mistress, you can't get this for your boring boyfriend. For sure I'm boiling, he just simmering. I'm just glimmering, recycling, spitting what he should be listening. And on, and on. But I ain't bad, dude. Kinda Masai, boo. Bless you like hot chew, you know how I do. Yeah, yeah, like a pap smear. How I get a besides you, I mean. Do what you will, you ain't cooler than this. Matter of fact, ain't too many who can do it like this. Can't too many do it truer than this. I'm just doing my fear. Do what you will, you ain't cooler than this. Matter of fact, can't too many who can do it like this. Can't too many do it truer than this. I'm just doing my fear. I make them say it like cowabunga. Get up in their head like a Calic brother. You nice as me, that's cowardunga. Bullshit, you been a fool since way back elementary school. Raw when I represent you for president, ooh. But see, I am no Barack Obama. Get between them cheeks and better rock your mama. Yeah, I'm cool, but this is hot like Sama. Christmas or Bahamas. Throw up the peace like the Dalai Lama. Look, honeycomb, little honey, I'm on. Yeah, I am the beeswax. Believe that. Stacking high notes like some feedback. Do what you will, you ain't cooler than this. Matter of fact, ain't too many who can do it like this. Can't too many do it truer than this. I'm just doing my fears. Do what you will, you ain't cooler than this. Matter of fact, can't too many who can do it like this. Can't too many do it truer than this. I'm just doing my fears.
All right, that was Q Dot out of the Pacific Northwest, who is live on the phone with us right now. So I just want you guys to kind of get a taste of each other's flavor since you're on the phone. You're all, you know, actually different genres and, you know, from different regions of the United States. So I'm going to jump into a piece, and I'm going to play a piece by Stephen Ferguson out of Kansas, and this is Afterglow.
Thank you. Oh, yeah.
All right, that was Stephen Ferguson coming to us from Kansas City, Kansas, with his piece called Afterglow.
Man, I love it.
I need that. I need that in my life. That can't be denied
right there.
Undeniable for sure.
I need that. I got to turn my pops on to that too. You'd have a fan for life. Man,
I appreciate it, fellas.
That's incredible. Man. That really is incredible.
Thank you very much.
All you can say is wow.
Yeah, that's some serious. That's serious right there. I miss my smooth jazz station now, man. Damn.
For real. No. Don't you?
So before we jump back in the conversation, I started out the show today with John D. Green Sr. with his Lost in Darkness. John has dropped off the line now, but I do want to play a piece by DeLon so you can get a taste of his flavor, and then we can finish up with continuing the conversation. So this is Happy Home by DeLon out of Houston, Texas.
Thank you.
was Happy Home by DeLon, who was on the line with us live. So just to let you know, is Stephen and Lili and DeLon, you're the only ones left on the phone right now.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
So that's just giving you a taste of each other's flavor. You know, very, very different. You know, definitely talented, you know, artists. And I have to tell you, just from, you know, from myself, I'm very honored, you know, to have, you know, made contact with all of you, you know, to come to get to know you, to be able to share your flavor, you know, to get into know Lili LaRue down there in Tampa, Florida, and what she's doing with her artists. It's an exciting thing. And so, you know, I would love for us to put our heads together and see if there's a way of just figuring this out, how we can, you know, build and grow off of this, you know, to be able to do something different and take things to the next level. And I agree with Lili. You know, the bad thing is the artists that, you know, we work with, they do struggle financially, you know. And so when it comes down to, you know, where do you put your money to, you know, just your family, your everyday living expenses to, you know, being an artist, I know that's got to be a hard, you know, hard call. You know, and generally family and living expenses, you know, went out, you know, when it comes to that. So, you know, what can we do? You know, it's like, you know.
Lili got a lot of good points.
Mm-hmm.
I also try to come up with solutions as well. You know what? When I started this thing, I didn't realize what the magnitude that it was going to go to. And through networking in the major cities here in Florida, from Miami to Orlando, which is a major power player, networking with some of the heavy hitter DJs that also have their own things going on as well, and bringing everybody, because it's not about, you know, it shouldn't be about, is what I should say. It shouldn't be about just people on their individual pockets. You know, if we all pull this thing together, we can make so many strides and so much headway that it's making people's heads spin. People are actually taking notice. Like, you know what, Florida pretty much, the affiliates at LaRue Entertainment has, we have pretty much taken over Florida. The name is known all the way out to California, and you know, it wasn't just on my name. They forget that my affiliates, through networking, we pretty much complement each other. So you have to work together. You have to work together.
And I agree, Lili. I think that you do have to work together. One of the things that I've noticed, you know, about my own hometown, I don't know whether it happens out there in Florida or where, you know, you are, Stephen or DeLon, you know, but it's, you know, it's very cliquish. You know, so if you are not privileged to be a part of a clique when it comes to who it is that supports your genre or your art form or whatever, you have no chance of being recognized by your own hometown.
It depends. That's where you have to. That's what people have to understand. You know, you have to look at the way the models are set up of people that are succeeding. You know, it just didn't start out with just me and my camp. I mean, that's how it started out. But like I told him, you know what? You draw more bees with honey than you do vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
Trust and believe that. You know, when you get the DJs that are on the major radio stations, you know, my own family is in a major, he's a DJ on a major radio station here in Orlando. But that's not who I got down with. I got down with one of his coworkers that, you know, she is a heavy hitter from way back in the day up till now.
Okay.
You know, and it wasn't, I mean, she allowed me to, you know, to come into her world, even though I was an outsider. I'm from Tampa. She didn't know me.
Okay.
You know, you have to, and once we started putting our minds together and be like, you know what, you like this artist and I like this artist and you have these venues, you know, somebody might have a venue, you know, connect. Somebody might have a major heavy hitter connect, you know, for shows. you know, that you can have your artists open up for,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they come to your city. You know, these things, they account for something. Everybody has something to offer. It's not always about, well, I got all the answers, you know, and I can do this by myself.
Right.
No,
right.
you can't. You know, I didn't know you, Lady Flavor,
right.
you know, but you have opened the door for me in so many ways because since I did the very first show,
mm-hmm.
you know, with you, so many more doors and networking has opened, you know, and we were able to make strides just
right.
by networking and talking and exploring ideas and listening to each other that we could all come up together.
Exactly. And see, that's what my feeling is that I was having this conversation with somebody the other day. It's almost like you're forced into a clique, you know, because just because of, you know, how it is that you want to go about things, if it doesn't fit into the niche of somebody else, you know, you're just not going to connect. But I believe that, you know, people are okay. For instance, Q-Dot, I hate that he dropped off the line, but okay, he has a radio station too, and he does a similar thing to me, but different, you know? Okay, I don't see Q-Dot as a competition, you know? I see
right.
him as a partner, because to me, he's also got a different audience than I have, you know? And that,
exactly.
You know, and so he is helping, you know, open the doors to his listenership, to the underground artists that he's playing on his show, to, you know, any other, you know, radio show out there that's trying to open the doors, shoot, I welcome that. I wish there was more, you know, because we all have different listenerships. We all have different fans. And so I agree. I wish that we could all just kind of join hands, play our positions, and come together, you know, as a collective to make this work, because I believe that we can. And I rack my brain all the time trying to figure this out, you know, how to make this work. And I'm a struggling artist cheerleader. I'm not going to look front, you know. I worked on the weekends for, you know, with at-risk youth. That's what I live off of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that income goes into Flava News. In keeping, you know, going the radio station to the different things that I do with Flava News, you know. And so it's not, you know, I do have, you know, some paying clients, you know, but, you know, even at that, you know, I'm not charging them an arm and a leg or whatever, and it's, you know, it's not something that I can live on. It's not something that I can grow Flava News, you know, from. And I say this all the time. If I had some money, you know, behind me, I'd be a monster right now. The things that I could do for you guys, you know, it wouldn't even be questioned, you know. But
until that's the thing, until we get that kind of money, until everybody, you know, those days of the credit and the fast-moving
yeah.
money, you know,
yeah.
before, while Bush was in office, those days are over. Those days
yeah.
are over, so now we got to reinvent ourselves. So as long as we keep our names out there, keep the music tight, you know, it will happen. It's just going to take some time, but it will happen. You know, and I strongly and I truly believe in it. You know, otherwise, if it was about the money, you know, I wouldn't have LaRue Entertainment.
Right, right.
You know, I do
yeah.
it for the love of the music, for the love of the artists that are behind the music. And you know, it has to be that way. It can't always be about the money. The longevity will not sustain. It's not going
to
happen.
You have
it's
to have
gonna
the
happen.
Love.
You
got
to
have
the
love.
It's got to be about the
yeah.
music first. And as long as you
mm-hmm.
stay in love with the music, it will. Oh, that's where the longevity will stay at. It'll be okay. It's going to be all right. You'll get there. It might not, you know, it might not be, you know, 40 or you know, what do you say, $4 million worth, but it's priceless.
Right.
And that can't be taken away. So as long as we stay together, I don't think we're so much of a clique out here. I really don't. I think it's a lot different.
That's cool.
you know, out here because we support one another. That's why I have so many artists trying to move. I even see entertainment companies moving to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm okay with that. Even though that's my competition,
mm-hmm.
we can still network. We can still make major moves.
There's
right.
enough out there for everybody. You know, there's enough out there for everybody. You know,
right.
so it shouldn't be a competition. It should be,
But, you know, it's like when you got people in the industry looking at you, you know, it's like, okay, you know what? I'm taking this down here because I'm getting ready to move in. Okay, well, come on down. I might see it as a different view. Like, you know, we can make this work. But she might not see it as, you know,
yeah.
that we gonna make this work. I think in some parts of some people's mind, it's, you know what? You're not getting ready to be the only major entertainment company in Florida. Because that's her main focus.
Yeah.
You know, I know she has recognition with major labels. I give her that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm about my artists. I'm about their music. And I believe that's what's going to sustain all of us. As long as we keep that attitude that it's got to be about the music first.
Right, definitely.
The money will come as long as you mm-hmm. network.
Well, and I think that I think you have to recognize who you've got in your camp. You know, I think that there's a conversation that I had with a young up-and-coming, you know, entertainment group here in the Pacific Northwest. It was all about bringing the homies on, you know, and not necessarily the homies were the best look, you know, for what they were trying
mm-hmm.
to achieve. And sometimes I think that you have to also recognize that, you know, you can love your homies, but are your homies the ones that you really want to do business with? It's just like, you know, people taking on, for instance, you know, having their husband or their mom be the manager, you know, or whatever. But, you know, those particular people may not really have the skills, you know,
mm-hmm.
and capability of going out there and representing you in the way that you need to be represented to help you make those moves. So I think that also you really need to think about who are those people in your immediate camp and are they helping you or are they hindering you?
Oh, absolutely. I believe in that wholeheartedly, and I know where you're coming from because I don't have a problem, even though my family is in an entertainment business,
mm-hmm.
I didn't have a problem firing my cousin as my VP,
right.
you know. This is not a family reunion. And at the end of the day, it's still about it's still a business, and it still has to
yeah.
be about the music and the artist. So
right.
while you're out there chasing that million-dollar dream, I'm going to keep it real right here first.
Yeah.
So I don't have a problem firing, you know, people because of their ill instincts and their goals. I'm not with it. I don't have patience for it.
And I think you need to be on the same page. I think that you need to connect with those of like mind.
Yeah,
you
but the artists have to realize, you know, yeah, your homies can, you know, they're not always, they'll co-sign on everything that you do.
Right.
You know, that's why I said they're your homies and they're called groupies.
Right.
You know,
I'm glad you mentioned that, Lily, because, you know, when I first started doing this, you know, my music is very personal to me. And I would get a couple of emails from people saying, you know what, you know, it's okay, but it sounds like crap to me, you know, that kind of stuff like that. And, you know, when you get to that, that hurts. That really hurts a lot. And I had to realize that, you know what, in order for me to take this where I want it to go, I have to learn how to separate it. I can't let it be about personal. I got to let it be about business. And
right.
now I'm treating it as if I was running a corporate organization or something like that. It's the Stephen Jerome Ferguson that you guys heard on Afterglow. that guy is completely different from the one that you hear talking right now.
Hmm.
Okay. And once I made that separation, and once I decided to treat it like a real business and to put the effort into it like a real business,
mm-hmm.
then things started to pick up a little bit then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I can see the difference. I got to hold down a full-time job to survive. That's cool. I don't have a problem with that. But I put more hours into the promotion, the marketing, and the creation of my music than I ever did at my full-time job.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, I'm blessed where my full-time job is 4 days a week. Okay, so I've got 3 days every week to work on my other full-time job, which is my music. And I put the time in. I mean, you have to. I will put in an 18-hour day on music and promoting the music in a skinny minute. And it doesn't even feel like work because I'm doing something that
right.
I love to do.
Right.
That's the main thing. I mean, I've sat up here till 5 o'clock in the morning and not even realize it's 5 o'clock in the morning.
I know them days, too.
You know, you don't even realize it.
I know them days. It's a constant grind. When you're in the business, that's what these artists have to understand as well and take it from the veterans, you know, that this is an everyday grind because you have to. You might not eat. You might miss meals. You're going to miss meals. And God knows I lost
mm-hmm.
about 15 pounds within the first 6 months of,
mm-hmm.
you know, bringing LaRue Entertainment to life. It was a nonstop where my family never saw me. You know, my sister only lives 20 minutes. My family, my mom and dad, they didn't see me for weeks. They'd be like, when you going to come up for air? And I'd be like, you have to, you know what, my artists, I have to get their music out.
There's
you
always
know,
something
I have
to
write. Yeah. I have to write this memo. I have to write this letter. I have to send
mm-hmm.
this email. I got to write this radio station. I got to hook up with this DJ. It was always something, but it's
mm-hmm.
the 24-hour grind. It really, really is. If you went for a novelty of it, you know, well then okay, then let it just be that. But if you're looking to make strides in this business, trust and believe, they better understand that this is a nonstop thing. This is not just some. This is literally a lifestyle. It's literally your life. It's going to become your life. Music industry is one occupation that if you're in the industry, it is a lifestyle. Because my relationships I have lost relationships, you know, with men that you know, just can't handle it. Because I'm always at work. It literally becomes your life, and that they need to understand that.
And I have to agree with you, Lily and Stephen. I mean, when it comes to this, I mean, I'm not an artist, you know, but, you know, I wave my invisible leopard pom-poms. One day I'm going to have some actual physical
leopard pom-poms. We're
going to
make you some, ladies.
I'm
going to make you some of them.
Yeah. Somehow it's going to happen because, that's a must. But, you know, it's something I do. I go to sleep. I dream about it. I wake up. I sleep with my little pink laptop in my bed, you know, half the time. And if I can't sleep, then I'm up doing something. And you're right. There's always somebody to connect with, somebody to reach out to
mm-hmm.
make certain things happen. And so it's just like, you know, people see me on Facebook all the time because I just have Facebook logged on. And honestly, I'm addicted to it. I love Facebook. But that's not what I'm always doing. You know, there's so many other things that I'm doing behind the scenes that people don't even realize. And
no,
I,
they
you know,
sure
I,
don't.
You know, so, you know,
well,
just even for myself, you know, I've made connections. I didn't know, you know, that I was going to end up doing this. You know, back in the days in 2003 when I built my coffee shop, you know, I was a coffee house owner. You know, I didn't even realize at that point that I was going to end up having open mics in my coffee shop to selling, you know, self-published authors' books to becoming a book reviewer of African-American literature and then selling, you know, hip-hop rap out of my coffee shop, you know, and all of that. I had no idea, you know, what journey God had me on. But I believe
mm-hmm.
this is a journey, you know. And my whole life, I've always played some kind of role while I served others.
you know, prior to Flava, I was a domestic violence advocate and a homeless advocate. You know, so I'm always playing some kind of role where I'm helping to serve others so that their life might be better. So as frustrated as I might get in doing the work, you know, and the things that I get, you know, I'm challenged by, like the conversation this morning, it almost fuels me more. And that might sound crazy, but it almost fuels me more because, you know, obviously that person's paying attention to me, you know, but, you know, I just know this is what I'm meant to do. And I was telling my dad, who was a Baptist minister, I said, you know, I think ministry comes in very different ways. And because of my faith, you know, I believe this is my ministry, that it that I'm, you know, meant to represent and, you know, take on the challenge of supporting underground independent artists. And one day Pastor Braxton had said in a service on Martin Luther King celebration, he said, you know, be a moral leader. And that's what, you know, that's what I want to try to represent. I want to be a moral leader. I want to stand for something. I want you to know that I'm a person of integrity. I'm a person who sincerely believes in you. This isn't, I mean, I'm sitting here broke too, you know, and stuff. You know, there are things, you know, there are times in my life when things get shut off and taken down and this, that, and the other, and then we got to work towards getting it back up or whatever, you know, but... You know, I sincerely believe in this, you know, and ministering doesn't mean just, you know, being there in a church. That's just a building, you know. I think that there's so many different ways that you can do outreach and help other people, you know, outside of yourself. So
I always see that post that you have, you adopted an indie artist today, and what did I always tell you?
Yeah,
I got a whole camp full of them. They're all adopted.
You know, but I think about that.
I don't
like,
even get checks from the state or nothing. They trust and believe. It's all on goodwill and love.
Exactly. You know, and I think you're right, Lily. You have to really love this, you know, and Stephen and Delon. You have to really love this, you know, to make it work. As frustrating as it gets, you know, I mean, I can get a new project too, Stephen, where I'm just like, oh, how many hours have I been at this?
You really have to have a love for it. You really do.
Let me tell you something, real talk. When I was 21, and I'm almost 43 now, when I was 21, I had a record contract. I was singing for years before that. I've been singing, you know, ever since. Been in different groups, had heartaches, you know, lost money, you know, did shows, had a lot of disappointments, went through bad management. I can give you a million stories, man, and I'm still trying to grind it out. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you, if I had a dime for every time I thought about just completely giving it up and quitting, I mean, I could probably buy the state of New York right now. You know, but I just can't let it go. I'm a junkie. I can't help myself. I got to make
music. Ivy, you know what? I want to pose this question to the guys right quick because I struggled with this. Even as this morning when I woke up, I had did a fabulous FM interview in for a tri-state area over the weekend. And my thing was, is that, you know what, after I got done the interview, I got feedback. The radio personality called me back and was like, you know, you did the most incredible job. My phones are blowing up. My chat room is full. And that felt good. But then when I woke up the next morning, I'm like, okay, when is enough enough? You know, I did that accomplishment, but now I got to, now I have to, as you say, you know, go higher. So when is enough enough? I hear the praise and everything, but you feel like, you know what? I still feel like I haven't done enough. I mean, does anybody, am I the only one that feels like that? Or is,
no,
is, you know.
No,
I'm going to tell you. I'm gonna tell you, like, for me, real quick, I'm not gonna be up front. I haven't done nearly enough. You know what I'm saying? If you think that you've done enough, you haven't. And I'll tell you, I was in this group, and we would do these little talent show things, rinky-dink stages that the city would lend to us, you know, type of thing. And then, you know, a couple of guys would start saying, oh, you know, we've already paid our dues. Like, what? Are you serious? Like, we haven't done anything yet. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
I mean,
look,
and that's how I feel like, you know, I mean, everybody's like, we're making so much strides, and I have to guess, I have to look at it and be like, you know what, 6 months, you know, Lady Flavor, when LaRue Entertainment first hit the pages, it was like,
mm-hmm.
okay, that came up, and in 6 months, okay, I got so much done, but I always pose that question on Facebook, like, okay, I'm feeling this type of way. Because I just did this, but it seems like I didn't do enough. Like, where do I go now? You know, and you just want to just lay it down. You'd be like, okay, you know, I need some inspiration. I need some motivation.
You know what? I'm going to tell you. It's never enough. It's never enough. Well, not only that, let me tell you something. You're really answering your own question, if you think about it. Those who think they've achieved something are stagnant or they had no idea about what they were getting into, and, you know, because a couple of people patted them on the back, they've achieved something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
because
I don't feel like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I really? Really? Because until my whole camp is sitting at the Grammys accepting their Grammys, you know, then I can say, you know what, I'm okay now. I'm really
wow.
okay.
No, you won't be.
The
no,
fact
you
that
you,
won't
you don't think?
No, you won't be. No, you won't be.
You really?
I really.
Because I still have to get there, you know what I'm saying? I'm looking, you know, I'm like, okay,
I'm
see it as a dream.
Something.
But then, what, you saying, so I'm going to wake up the next morning and be like, okay.
It'll be something else that you need to do.
It'll be something
because
else, like it was this morning.
it's all about the passion and the love you have for it, okay? And when you have an unconditional love for anything, be it your children, your spouse,
mm-hmm.
your business, it is always something else you feel like you have to do.
It is. It is.
You,
it,
it's,
but
not,
you
it's
know.
Not a destination. It's not a destination. It's just a journey. That's all it is.
Right.
And when you feel that way, you know you're doing the right thing.
Right. Yeah, preach on.
But
it
gives you that uncertain feeling, you know. It gives me that uncertain feeling, and that's when I have to find the courage to, because I am a female in a male-dominated industry, you know. For whatever reason, males and my family, no, I should say the females in my family have made major strides. But if you look at, you know, Florence LaRue, if you look at Dee Dee Sharp, all the females in my family have made strides, but I just feel like I don't want to be the first failure because they weren't.
Right, yeah.
You
yeah.
know,
it's
and that's where the uncertainty comes in.
I
don't
want to
be, you know, the Rebe Jackson of the Jackson family.
Oh, okay.
So to speak. You know?
Wow, that's cold blood.
Okay.
That
okay.
is so
just saying, you know, I mean, she got
yeah.
out there, but it only went but so far, you know.
Right.
It's like, okay,
right.
you know,
right.
let's, you know, pass but on that. Okay, Mike Jen, you know, what y'all got?
Right. Right. But check this out. The simple fact you're talking like that means you're already on the right path.
Oh, yeah.
You,
know,
you, can,
yeah.
Easily,
okay.
you can easily say, well, my family name and, you know, we got here and then, and that's it. And again, it's a wrap. You know what I'm saying? But you have the simple fact you're even throwing that question out there means you're doing the right thing.
Exactly.
And as long as I keep that faith. And see, that's why I like brothers like y'all, you know, that keep it real with me. You know what? You still got to have that courage. You still got to have that faith. It's okay. Because I have taken a couple of bumps already, you know. And,
okay.
and like I tell my artists, you know what? I have taken the bumps. You're going to take bumps too. You know, you're going to have failures because not everything that you're going to do in this industry is a success. But when it comes to me, it's like I cannot fail. I can't because too many eyes are upon me, and it's like, you know, I've done something. This is the first time that there was a manager in the family. Everybody else was artists, you know. And I didn't succeed as an artist, but I'm succeeding as a manager. So it's like, okay, well, what are the standards? You know, where's the cap on this?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, the key thing about failure is not to dwell on it, is to learn from it. Because we've all failed in certain things that we've tried to do at one time or another. And this is one thing I try to teach my children, is the fact that you're going to mess up sometimes, but the key thing is not to make the mistake twice.
This
you
is
know,
very
you,
true, and that
you,
I,
you
yeah.
learn from it. You learn from it.
This is
okay.
Very
so
true.
You know, Stephen, you know, I'm gonna have to give you my phone number because I might need a reminder on that. You know,
yeah, okay.
From my mistakes. and let me tell you why. Okay, so I don't know if you can hear my grandson in the background. He's sick. He's home. He's home, and he's like starving. He wants lunch. Everything. He's sick. He's about to drive me absolutely crazy, but you know I in a sense I think I'm a glutton for punishment because I'm so into this thing with the artist, right? And you sit and you listen to a sound, or you just, you know, you have this idea of, you know, you almost, it's almost like a woman with a man, or maybe a man with a woman. You know, you see that potential, right? You see the potential.
Potential.
it's not necessarily there, you know, and so I just seem to set myself up believing in somebody else, and then it's just like
label
wipes
you
and put your
time and
energy
there.
So can you just remind me, don't keep making this mistake over and over and over again, Flava.
Okay, I'll do that. I keep that on my desktop on my computer, actually.
I one of these days I'm going to learn. I'm not going to move an artist into my house again.
You already know I'm getting ready to have somebody come to the East Coast, lady.
I just had to kick out some hip hop artists from my mother-in-law's unit. They didn't pay the rent. They ran the utilities, the electricity up. They had people in here all days and night, and I was like, I should have never let them move in.
I should have
known.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, they know I'm half crazy anyway, so when I move people into my house, whether they're part of the company or part of the camp or they're artists, whatever it may be, I think ground rules are set, you know. You got to travel an hour to get to the studio, so, and I'm not going to be running back and forth every day to the studio with you.
Right.
So whatever happens at the studio and whatever people that you mingle with in the studio, they stay at the studio. They do not come into my home.
Right.
Yeah, they already know I'm half crazy. I'll keep it real with them, and I don't have a problem putting people out.
I was standing outside my house yesterday saying, you don't want the Sherman's out of me to come out. You need to shut your mouth right now. Little boy, just shut your mouth right now and just move out of here.
We have come to the end of another amazing artist roundtable show. I thank you
so
very much for, you know, calling in and
participating
today. And,
this was great.
And I don't know if you guys know, I think Alon
knows,
but
my show, the Artist Roundtable,
is
going to
be picked up and played on a London station starting in March.
Cool.
That sounds fabulous. Guys, if you're on Facebook, you know, please feel free. I welcome these guys, you know, definitely.
I'm on there every day.
Hit me up. Lisa LaRue, or you can go under Lily LaRue, and you'll see me and Lady, and there's quite a few people that I network with. It doesn't have to be in Florida. I network from coast to coast, literally around the globe. So We can work some things. We can get something moving here, you know. So let's bring it together. We can do this.
Let's do this.
Right.
I'm about to put it on Facebook right now, actually.
Absolutely, my love.
Thank you.